It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen.
Greetings and salutations to all our wonderful listeners out there in podcast land, listening to Product Genius with, would you cue the audience already? There they are. There they are. I think our intrepid producer, Jody Smith, is messing with us during our recordings.
I think he's tired of the audience button.
Man, we need to come up with something else. Maybe some mice, some sounds of mice in the background chewing on car electrical wires. Maybe that would be a good sounder to bring us in. What do you think about that, Tiffany Krumen, star of the show?
No,
you do not want that.
Traumatized by that.
For those of you that don't know, the star of our show has had issues with mice. And we've also had one of our geniuses who's had mice get into their car and cause major problems.
I was telling Stephen this is a common occurrence. When I turned in my claim to USAA, I thought they'd think I was insane. And the girl goes, oh, no, this is like my 12th today. And I was like, what? Is that possible? And then she went down a whole list of issues with that. So
thankfully, we're not here to talk about rodents in our cars. That's another podcast down the dial somewhere. So if you came here looking for that, instead, what you're going to learn about is becoming a genius of your product-based business. We can't be geniuses of everything. So we, and by we, I mean Tiffany, has created this fantastic podcast we've been doing now for almost 5 years
Maybe
together.
More. Yeah.
My goodness. And we've brought on all kinds of geniuses, and we try to help you surround yourself with people who can help you make great decisions in your business. All of you are geniuses at least one thing in building your product-based business, but you're not a genius in everything. So that's why we started the show. That's why Tiffany's doing this, to give back to the community. And today, for the first time ever in your podcasting life, we are going to talk about the fantastic subject of taxes.
That's where we need the womp womp button. But
now, some people might listen to that and go, hey, now I'm going to go listen to the mice in the car. I'm just kidding. Taxes are a subject that everybody makes jokes about. Everybody talks, death and taxes. Everybody's got that line. Everybody's got a line about taxes. But the reality is taxes are an incredibly important part of building your business, because you don't want to pay too many of them. And you certainly can't get away with not paying any of them. Mm-hmm. You got to do it right. And you got to do it smart. And you got to do it strategically. So thankfully, we have found a fantastic genius. I've actually known this genius for more than a couple of years, and she has helped me. She has helped some of my clients as an independent financial advisor. She has helped many, many people, and now she's going to help us by coming on the show and being one of the greatest guests ever. I'd like to welcome Jacqueline Sheldon from Bottom Line Tax Solutions and Bottom Line Business Solutions to Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen. Hello there, Jacqueline.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you had given us a wonderful little bio, which I'm going to read real quickly, and then I'm going to get out of your way and let you enhance your bio and talk about what you do. But this kind of sets it up. You are the founder of Bottom Line Tax Solutions. Your firm specializes in what you like to refer to as the three P's on income taxes. So let me get out of the way and let you talk about the three P's and other ways, other things that you do in your business.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'd like to say we specialize in the three P's of income taxes, and that is tax preparation, tax planning, and tax problem solving. So that's kind of the things that we specialize in at our firm. I am an enrolled agent, so I am licensed to practice before the IRS. So if we have clients that get those fun love letters from the IRS, maybe about balances due or tax problems, we can help them with that. I'm also a certified tax coach, and with that, we do a lot of tax planning. Our firm is very forward-thinking as far as income taxes are concerned, and helping our clients plan for their income taxes.
Let me take a minute or two, and let's kind of camp out on that certified tax coach as well as the enrolled agent. Let me start with the enrolled agent. Not every single person who does taxes for business owners are an enrolled agent. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement.
And so I think everybody thinks of, tax person, and they think of, CPA. But an enrolled agent, that's another level, and it's a better level. So talk
about a CPA. Are you saying a better level than a CPA?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So we're both asking that, Jacqueline.
I'm definitely asking.
Talk a little bit about an enrolled agent and exactly what that means and what that entails and why that might be better for business owners.
Sure. Well, an enrolled agent actually gets their certification directly from the Internal Revenue Service. So they're technically a tax accountant. To be an enrolled agent, you have to pass a very rigid exam that the IRS gives you on tax law. And then you have to keep up, do at least 24 hours of CPE credit every year as it relates to income taxes. So that's kind of what an enrolled agent is. As an enrolled agent, like I mentioned, yeah, I can represent taxpayers before the IRS. So if they have some tax issues that need to be resolved, we can actually go in as their representation and represent them in front of the IRS to try to get them the best outcome in their tax situation.
So when in the realm of getting being a CPA license, that can be issued by a university or an outside entity, but an enrolled agent can only become an enrolled agent through going through the process of the Internal Revenue Service and their enrolling agents process.
Right, right. CPAs get their licensing from the state CPA board.
Got it.
And enrolled agents, they get their licensing straight from Internal Revenue Service. So it's pretty much a tax accountant designation.
You speak the language better than most people. Okay.
In my world, that's like the difference between a patent agent and a patent attorney.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of
I like
similar.
It. So you mentioned certified tax coach. So that's a term I know I haven't seen broadcast a lot. So break that down for our listeners, what a certified tax coach is.
Sure. A certified tax coach is a tax professional that's completed training on advanced tax planning strategies. They specialize in finding deductions, credits, and legal strategies and loopholes to help their clients minimize the amount of taxes that they pay each year. I believe there's less than 500 people that actually have this designation in the United States, so that's probably why it's not something that's more commonly known. But a tax coach, basically, they focus on tax planning and helping clients minimize their tax liability by being proactive.
And I think people in general probably assume that like they walk into an HR block or they walk into one of these places that's set up in the front of Walmart and they're thinking, you know, they're going to do my taxes the same. But I'm sure what you're going to teach us today is that it matters.
Which would you rather shop at Walmart or Nordstrom? Right? Right. Oh, they're the same place.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a little different.
So,
just a little.
So,
just hundreds of thousands of dollars different.
Yeah, and the fact that they're and so let me okay, so Jacqueline, this is my first potentially really tough question of the interview. So
oh,
be
no.
prepared.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm ready.
Don't get mad at me and don't yell at me. Not that you would, but so you said certified tax coach, there's not that many. It is a very exclusive, you know, around 500 or so who have this designation. From my realm as in financial advising and the CFP and the AIF and all that kind of stuff, one of the things I've learned is at times you have these certifications and you realize that, oh, there's like 10 different ones. It just kind of depends on which one you did. Is certified tax coach are there other certifications or other names that are similar, or is this something that no, because we're coaching, because we're doing that strategy, there's really not that many certifications that really focus on that?
There's not that many organizations that have certification in tax planning at this point. I do think that will change. I think our industry is going more to being more focused on tax planning.
Good.
So I think there will be other designations that come along, but at the moment it's about the only designation out there that's specific to a tax planner.
Well, then we should just take a moment though, first it's good that it's changing, because I think that's more important. And I think that's one of the reasons why taxes in general have gotten the quote unquote bad rap or the butt of jokes and all that kind of stuff, because if it's just preparation, no wonder people get frustrated with it. It's just, you know, here's my shoebox of receipts and there's no planning, there's no strategy, there's no helping people understand.
It's more like
more.
Fixing it after, you know, when you go in and go, what did I do wrong, versus the word planning.
Right.
I'm actually prepared for the next year.
And
exactly. When we, you know, often say, you know, any accountant will do a fine job at putting the right numbers on the right forms and the right box. But is that all you want?
Right.
You know, most business owners, they want more than just a tax return prepared. They want help in figuring out what they can do to minimize their tax liability. How can I pay less taxes? How can I structure my business to where the tax burden is less?
Mm-hmm.
Because small business owners, they get hit hard when it comes to taxes, that's for sure.
Do you have any, I know you can't share the company names and you would never want to, but do you have any financial numbers you could share with us where money was saved because someone worked with you. So maybe the year before it was, you know, they paid $5,000, and this year because they worked with you, they saved $10,000. Or
I've got those numbers, but go ahead, Jacqueline.
yeah, we've done quite a few tax plans where the tax savings from doing the tax planning was more than $10,000, $15,000 in 1 year. I've done tax plans that were upward of $60,000 or $70,000 first year.
And then how do you get paid? Were you a percentage of that, or how do they pay you, by consulting hours?
Depending on the complexity of the plan, we do a flat fee.
Okay.
For preparing a tax plan. One thing that we do, you know, for anybody that feels like maybe they're paying too much in taxes, we'll actually review 2 years worth of tax returns and just see if they're a good candidate for a tax plan. If I look at it and there's not a whole lot that I can come up with that I think that I can do to help them, depending on where their business is, then you know, sometimes I'll tell them you're just not a candidate for a tax plan. But usually, you know, the tax savings for the cost of the plan has got to be at least 3 or 4 times what the cost is. So,
right.
Yeah,
if
I'm charging you $2,500 for a tax plan, I'm going to make sure that you're saving at least $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
So pretty good return on investment.
Yeah. You know. I'd say.
I would concur with that.
And just the peace of mind and knowing you're doing
it
right.
It's year after year after year. So it's definitely worth the investment for small business owners who just feel like they're paying too much in taxes.
So I think it's time for us to kind of get into some of these strategies and talk about some of the strategies. You when you were laying everything out and talking about doing the as a certified tax coach and help people with tax planning, you did mention the word legal strategy. I heard the phrase legal strategies, which always reminds me of the great little clip with The Firm where Gene Hackman is quizzing Tom Cruise and he goes, you know, what are we supposed to do with taxes? You know, and he kind of chuckles about, you know, whatever the law requires. And so the joke is, oh, we're always trying to cheat on our taxes. We're not. We there are a lot of legal strategies that you can use to help with your taxes. So most taxpayers want to reduce their tax burden, but they want to stay within the law. So lay that out for us. What are some of those strategies that you help with?
All right. Well, Stephen, I think you would agree with the statement that no one really likes to pay taxes, right?
Let's all say amen in the congregation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We're all with you.
And do you know what's worse than having to pay taxes?
Going to jail for not paying them?
No, having to pay taxes you shouldn't have to pay, right? Paying
exactly.
too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Finding out you paid too much.
Oh, because you're not getting it back, right?
The Government Accountability Office actually did a study a few years back that was really kind of interesting. Mm. And it showed that small business owners collectively overpay their taxes by over $1 billion each and every year.
You don't understand. You're literally speaking about my own family. My mom and dad ran his small business for 35 years. And every time tax season came around, they told me these numbers. And I thought, this cannot be possible. My dad is killing himself. He does everything he can to, you know, keep all the receipts and do all the things. And it was like he was always just getting reamed with taxes. So I wish he would have had you all those years ago.
He was single-handedly paying a big chunk of that $1 billion. So go ahead.
And you know, the reason why they found that that's to be true is that small business owners just weren't taking all the deductions that they were legally entitled to. So that leads me to think, well, why would that be? And, you know, all that can come up in my mind is either A, there were deductions that they were entitled to that they weren't aware that they could take, or B, they just didn't keep good records so that they missed taking deductions when they filed their tax return. But that's kind of where proactive tax planning can really help, because with a tax plan, it can help you to identify some of those missed opportunities while avoiding raising red flags or straying into gray areas. Yeah, so you can definitely find some good strategies there that are perfectly legal. You know, orange may be the new black, but you know, as a red, it's really not my color. I really don't want to go to the illegal side of things.
Exactly. Sure. So, and before we get into those strategies, let me just really focus one thing on the proactive tax planning that you talk about, and kind of what that looks like. If they're working with someone like you, that's a certified tax coach, that's an enrolled agent that has gotten their certification before the IRS and can argue before the IRS for your clients. And again, it's not just tax preparation. What should be a business owner's expectation if they're working with someone like you who's truly trying to help them do proactive tax planning? Because I'm assuming it's not see you at the end of the year and hand you all the records. Mm-hmm. This is something that goes a little bit, you know, not monthly or weekly or anything like that, but what's the layout of a fiscal year for a business owner that's working with you in a way that you are their tax coach and doing proactive planning?
Yeah, we'll usually start out with a new client by doing that review of the last 2 years' tax returns. We determine if they're a candidate for what we call a comprehensive tax plan. If we decide that they are, then we will go through and actually prepare that plan. And usually those plans will take 20 hours or more to do a really comprehensive tax plan, because what we're looking at is a variety of different strategies and different strategy combinations. And if we go with this strategy and this entity, and if we do it this way or that way, where are we going to get our best tax results? So there's quite a bit of work that goes into putting a comprehensive tax plan together. Once that tax plan is completed, then we usually meet with the client. We go over the tax plan. We tell them what they have to do to implement the different strategies, how to cross their T's, dot their I's to make sure that they're doing it legally and they're keeping the records that they need to be able to substantiate their deductions in case of audit. And then beyond that tax plan, then we usually put our clients on what we call a maintenance plan. And usually that's maybe once a quarter. Sometimes it's twice a year where we'll meet with the client, we'll review their profit and loss, their balance sheet, where their business is at that point in time. And then we can update that tax plan because, you know, tax laws change, businesses change. As businesses grow, there's new strategies and new opportunities mm-hmm. that might be available to them that wasn't available when they were a smaller business. Or if the tax law changes, some of the strategies we're looking at may change. What may work for them today may not work for them 5 years from now. So there's an ongoing relationship there. Outside of that once a year, let's just do your tax return. Mm-hmm. The tax return is kind of the end of it all. You know,
right.
When we prepare the tax return, we've wrapped up that year. And then we're looking at going back into tax planning mode again for the next upcoming tax season.
And you're hoping a lot of the work is already done, right, throughout the year, and that the taxes are easy at that point. So you've talked a lot.
Exactly.
You've talked a lot about strategies, and that can kind of sound daunting, I think, to people. You know, what is involved in each of these strategies? So could you break down what some of those strategies are?
Sure. I mean, there are a lot of different strategies, especially for small business owners. But out of the strategies, they really kind of fall into four different categories. So probably the easiest way to talk about strategies is let's kind of talk through those categories, and I can give you some examples that fall into each category. The first category that we always look at when we're doing a tax plan is something called timing strategies. Now, timing strategies, they're set up to allow the taxpayer to kind of have some control over when some items are taxed. Some examples of that is some of the year-end tax strategies that we always do with our clients. It could mean trying to defer income at year-end from putting it in this year to waiting and trying to bill a client in the following tax year. It also can mean accelerating deductions, sometimes, you know, prepaying some of your January or February expenses on December 31st and moving those expenses into this tax year mm-hmm. Can make a big difference in the taxes that you owe. Sometimes it's doing just the opposite. If we feel like a taxpayer's business is growing and maybe they're going to be in a higher tax bracket next year, then we want to do the opposite. We may want to bring some of their income into this year if possible, and push some of their deductions off into next year. So there's definitely some things with timing there that comes into play that can make a big difference. And for 2021, especially for C corporations, they want to think about this at year end, because we do anticipate that the Biden administration is going to raise the corporate tax rate next year for C corporations. So this deferring income into next year and accelerating deductions into this year is really not a good strategy for C corporations. You definitely want to think of it the other way around, because the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act basically set the C corporation tax rate at 21%. The Biden administration is pushing for it to go up to 28%. Mm. So you've got to keep those things in mind as well.
I'm but sweating right now.
That's a couple of the timing strategies. Another very common timing strategy that we see is putting money into a qualified retirement plan. Obviously, by making those contributions, the taxpayer doesn't have to pay tax on that money today, and they can defer the taxes until retirement age. Also, the money in that retirement plan is going to continue to grow tax deferred. So it's always one of our cornerstones when we're looking at a retirement or a tax planning strategy is what can we do to maximize retirement? Because it's one of the few deductions where a taxpayer can actually get a tax deduction for something that they technically get to keep the money. They may not be able to touch it for a while, but technically they do get to keep that money. So retirement plans is another timing strategy that we use quite a bit. So that's kind of the first category is what can we do on timing. And then the second types of strategies we look at is something called income shifting strategies. And the whole premise behind an income shifting strategy is to try to take income that's being taxed at the taxpayer's current tax rate and see if there's a way to move it into a lower tax rate or even a zero tax rate. And some of the things we do there could be hiring family members to come work in your business. If you have a college student, you could hire them.
How
to
does
work
that
for
benefit?
You in the summer.
Can you break that one down just a tiny bit more so people can understand why that would be beneficial?
Sure. And there again, depending on what type of entity, how this works can be a little bit different. But let's say you're a sole proprietorship. Let's start with that. If your business runs as a sole proprietorship, and you hire your child under the age 18, you don't have to pay any Social Security or Medicare tax on that child's wages.
Wait, hang on.
You should see the light bulbs above my head right now.
Tiffany Kerman.
When I said people need to know, I meant me. I wanted to know more about
it. We're being fully transparent with our audience.
This is fantastic. I'll just spread it out.
Fully transparent with our audience. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Wow.
Keep going.
Sure. And yeah, the standard deduction for 2021 for a single person is $12,550. So let's say you have a 16-year-old. If they work for you, they make less than the $12,550 in earned income. They're not going to pay any income tax on that. So we used that strategy with my kids when they were growing up. And when they were in college, you know, there were things that we were paying for them that we couldn't get a tax deduction for, their cell phone, their car insurance.
Yeah.
When they were off in college, you know, gas for their car, pizza money, those kind of things that we got no tax deduction for.
So then you can just legally put that money they've earned, quote unquote earned, and most of the times they do because they work within the family business.
Exactly.
Into an account and use it how you wish. I mean, because it's their pay, right?
Exactly. Now, there are some things you have to know. The child does have to technically work for the business. You can't just have a ghost employee. And I've seen people try that before, just put their kid on payroll and the child actually doesn't work. The child does actually have to work for the business. You do need to keep a timesheet and record the hours that the child works. And you need to pay them a reasonable wage for what they do. Obviously, you can't pay them $100 an hour to go empty your trash cans in the office every day. But you know, a reasonable amount of money. And you do have to issue a W-2 at year end, but there's no tax withholding if it's your child under age 18 and you're a sole proprietorship. Now, if you are an S corporation, you still can hire your child to work in the business, but you would have to pay that Social Security and Medicare tax.
Can they be too young?
The IRS,
frowns upon six-year-olds working.
Well, they actually approved a court case with a seven-year-old. Was probably the youngest that a court case has gone in that they actually approved a seven-year-old working for a company.
Depending on what they do, that's possible.
Depending on what they do and the hours that they work and those kind of things. But yeah, usually the strategy works good for, you know, children that are 10 or above. We also often like to pair this strategy with a Roth IRA strategy. And I've done this with several of my clients. They would hire their child to work in the business and they would set up a Roth IRA for that child and put a portion of their earnings into that Roth IRA. And, you know, if the child leaves that money in the Roth IRA until retirement age, they can come out at retirement age with a pretty hefty nest egg that they can take out in retirement. And it's all tax-free through a Roth.
You can even use.
That's a great strategy to pair that Roth IRA with hiring a child. And then sometimes with hiring family members, we'll actually have clients who will hire their parents. So if they're in a situation maybe where they're helping a parent out financially, they can't get a tax deduction for that money that they're helping using to help their parents. Sometimes they'll hire their parent to work in the business. And it's kind of the same strategy. is then they can move that money into a lower tax bracket.
And your job is to look at the big picture. So if I came to you and said, I have, you know, a few entities or whatever, and here's what our situation looks like, you look at the big picture and guide.
Exactly.
All right.
So that's one example of income shifting. There's also something called a gift leaseback strategy. Sometimes where companies will actually gift their equipment or tangible assets to a family member and then lease that equipment back. Oh. There again, it's kind of the same philosophy of moving money into a lower tax bracket. And then sometimes, you know, with a business, we'll look at moving an income stream out of the current entity and then possibly into a C corporation if a C corporation's tax rates are lower than the taxpayer's personal tax rate. That also works well for S corporations when you have a larger profit and maybe this S corporation owner doesn't qualify for the full pass-through entity deduction because their income's too high. Well, if we can move some of that income out of the S corporation over to a C corporation, sometimes not only can we get the lower tax rate on that profit, but we also can open up a larger qualified business income deduction from the S corporation. So a lot of times doing one strategy will actually open up another eligible strategy, and then you can add a medical reimbursement plan and all that. So you kind of stack these strategies. Wow. And from doing one thing, you end up with just a tremendous tax savings just by making that one move.
All right. All right. All right. Hang on. I think everybody needs to take a breath. there's a lingo term. I'm going to let you guys behind the curtain of the great podcasting lingo. I'm going to do a reset. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the personal tax planning strategy session of Tiffany Krumans, taking place here on Product Genius with Tiffany Krumans, as Tiffany has gotten about five different good tax savings ideas from the certified tax coach.
And I'm texting Steve an idea so I don't forget it.
with our certified tax coach, Jacqueline Sheldon from Bottom Line Tax Solutions and Bottom Line Business Solutions. So, okay. So you said there were four different types of strategies, and I think we've only covered two.
So
holy cow. So we got to jump back in, but I still think everybody needs a breath, Jacqueline. You've laid so much savings on us. We're already like at least $10,000 or $15,000 of savings. So we got to, okay, everybody take a breath. Okay. So, make the shift and tell us the third type of strategy we can do.
Okay. Third types of strategies. These are what we like to call code strategies. And these are things that are just basically written into the IRS code. That medical reimbursement plan that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that qualified business income deduction, those things are just strictly written into the tax code as allowable business deductions. But business owners have to, first of all, know that those deductions are there. They have to know if they qualify for them, and then how do they utilize those strategies? So that's really what it comes down to as far as code strategies are concerned, is just being aware of them. Also, you have to keep in mind that the IRS tax code changes almost every year. And every time the tax code changes, there's new opportunities that become available. And then some of the older opportunities may sunset and no longer be available. That's another reason that ongoing tax planning is really important, is because the tax law does change. This year in particular, we had tax code changes in the middle of tax season, which was a lot of fun for people in our industry, because we had already prepared some returns and then the IRS came back and changed the tax law midstream.
A very good politically correct way to say that, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
Yay, yeah, a lot of fun. And then the last fourth type of strategy is things that we like to call product strategies. Now, these are investment products that can yield lower tax income, or in some cases, tax-free income. Some examples of that might be municipal bonds or insurance products. This is where you really need a good investment advisor to be able to guide you as far as your investments are concerned. So, Stephen, I don't know if you might know one. Yeah.
Do you know of any?
Past
performance. I get to say it. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please read prospectus carefully and consult a financial professional before investing.
Like exactly.
Okay. Very good. All right. So those are the four different types of strategies. And I feel like you only scratched the surface and kind of covered some of the main ones in each of those strategies. So let me change that question, or let me ask this follow-up question to all of those strategies. It can quickly become a little bit of a rabbit trail. It can quickly become a little bit of a black hole of getting lost in kind of where am I going and what am I trying to do? So let me ask it this way. You said the business owners, the GAO study showed that they overpaid. Apart from that mistake, what are some of the other most obvious mistakes or the biggest mistakes or the mistakes you come across most often, especially as it comes to business owners that they make when it comes to their taxes?
Well, I've seen quite a few of those. Like I said, I've had my practice for, I just started my 29th year. So I've done quite a few tax returns over the years and seen quite a few mistakes that I look at sometimes and wonder what were these people thinking. But I do have what I call my top 10 list of mistakes that small business owners make when it comes to their taxes. If any of your listeners are interested in that full list, you can go to my website, which is bottomlinega.com. Shoot me a message and I'll be glad to send you an email of it. But for today's sake, for the sake of time, let me just cover my top three. The first one is failing the plan. And Stephen, I'm sure you're not surprised by that one because you've heard me say that time and time again.
Yep.
That failing to plan is planning to fail. And that is so true when it comes to your income taxes. Now, I had clients that came in to see me this tax season, clients that I only see once a year. And they had really good years last year in spite of COVID-19. And we sat down to do their taxes and their tax liability was significantly higher than it was the year before. But unfortunately, at tax time, there's not a whole lot you can do to reduce that tax liability because the year is over. You know, we tried to dig up some additional receipts and come up with some additional deductions and maybe throw a little bit more money into their retirement plan. But at that point, it was really too late to do a whole lot to change the outcome. So that's probably the biggest mistake that I see is that taxpayers will wait until tax time. They'll gather all their tax information. They'll take it to their accountant's office, drop it off, cross their fingers, and hope for the best. So that, failing to plan, that's got to be the number one thing that costs taxpayers money when it comes to their taxes. The second thing that I see is not keeping good records. Having a good set of books is key to being able to minimize your tax liability because it keeps you, first of all, from missing tax deductions. If you have a set of books and everything's reconciled and tied out, then you pretty well have your tax deductions there. They also give you the information to be able to do tax planning. In order to do a tax plan, we kind of have to know where you are income-wise and what deductions you're taking. So it's great for a tax planning tool. And then it also helps to ensure that you're ready in case of audit. And we found out a couple weeks ago that the IRS is ramping up audit enforcement again. They are hiring 87,000 new revenue officers, so they'll be back in the audit business here shortly. And unfortunately, when it comes to audits, most of the audits are around business owners. They get targeted a lot more than W-2 employees do for audits. So it keeps you in a situation that if you get audited, you have the information there, the documentation to back up what you took on your tax return. So that's probably mistake number two, not keeping good records. And then the third mistake I would say is choosing the wrong business entity. You can operate your business as a sole proprietorship, a partnership, an S corporation, a C corporation, an LLC. You have a lot of different choices there. And the choice of business entity, it not only affects your liability protection as the business owner, but it also affects your tax status. It determines what tax deductions you can take, what tax forms you actually file, what taxes you have to pay. And it's not one size fits all when it comes to entity selection. What's good for one taxpayer may not be the best choice for another. Business entity choice can also change as a business changes. What's good for your business today may not be the best choice 5 years from now. So I've seen cases where just a change in business classification as far as tax status is concerned can save a taxpayer $5,000-$10,000 a year just by making that one change. So that would be my top three.
So we are obviously a product-based show. That's where my whole journey started. We talk a lot about product-based businesses. Can you share one or two tips or strategies, rather, for product-based businesses?
Yeah, when it comes to product-based businesses, all the tips that we've talked about today, would apply, but something specific for product-based businesses, I would say the first thing is to make sure that you are aware of any tax credits that you might qualify for. Because tax credits, they're kind of like gold when it comes to tax planning. Because unlike tax deductions, tax credits are actually a dollar-for-dollar offset in your tax liability. So if you have $5,000 in tax credits, you save $5,000 in income taxes. So like I said, they're very valuable when it comes to tax planning. One of the credits specifically for product-based businesses is the research and development credit. Mm-hmm. And it's available for companies that actually produce products. And the IRS actually says that only about 33% of businesses who qualify for the R&D credit actually take it on their tax return. And the reason why is there's a lot of confusion about who qualifies for the R&D credit.
There is. That's something I've been curious about over the years and haven't really executed because I didn't know if I fit in that category.
Right. And usually what I tell business owners is to really look at two things. Does your business create a product? And does that product change over time? Because if you have a product that maybe you are enhancing every year, you're upgrading, you're changing, you're making it better, you're using new technology for that product. All of those things will qualify under R&D costs. And this credit can be up to 10% of your qualified research and development costs. So definitely something to take a look at. You know, it's not just for companies that have scientists in white lab coats.
Right.
You know, that's what people think of when they think of research and development. But that's not the case. That would be one thing is always, you know, check and see if you qualify there. Another credit that you may want to look into is what's called the work opportunity credit. This is good for product-based businesses, you know, where they're manufacturing products or they have warehouses or they're shipping, doing logistics of products. The work opportunity credit really is for employers who hire employees from certain targeted groups that normally face barriers to employment. That would be things like welfare recipients, qualified veterans, people who happen to live in empowerment zones. Long-term unemployed is also on that list, and we're going to see a lot of that because we do have a lot of long-term unemployed people who are now looking for jobs. And the work opportunity credit, you know, the amount of credit you can get depends on which classification that the employee falls under. And it also determines on how much they're paid and how many hours they work. But for most employees, you can get up to a $2,400 credit if you hire someone that is within one of those targeted groups. And for some, you can get up to $9,600 in tax credit if you hire somebody within that targeted group. So there again, it's something that not a whole lot of people are aware of, that they have the ability to take that credit. So definitely look into what credits that you qualify for. There's also state credits along with the federal credits that depending on what state you're in, most states have a similar credit to the R&D credit and the work opportunity credit. So find out what credits you could potentially qualify for at the state level. Also, the state of Georgia has a film tax credit, and that film tax credit is one of the reasons that we see a lot of movies being produced here in the state of Georgia, that along with the fact that it's less costly to actually produce a film here. But one of the things that people don't realize on the film tax credit is that the state of Georgia actually lets filmmakers sell part of those tax credits to other taxpayers. And they usually trade on about 88 to 90 cents on the dollar. So if you have a business that's a C corporation, has a large Georgia tax liability, or maybe you individually have a large tax liability within the state of Georgia, you could buy film tax credits and basically get a 10 to 12% reduction on your state income tax by using film tax credits.
All I can think on that one is, why did they let them do that? That is...
It is a little unusual that they would let them do that, but they do. I think a lot of times the credits are more than they can actually utilize within the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. So it's just another incentive to let those filmmakers or have those filmmakers come into the state, because obviously that produces jobs and it produces revenue within our state to have that done there. So,
man. All right.
Something else to consider there.
Wow. Okay. So there's a A lot of times I call myself the slightly annoying co-host, and I'm just joking around, but this is one of those times where I truly have to be slightly annoying, and I have to close the door on this. I have to tie this up with a bow, because we very rarely on our shows have we said what I'm about to say. Okay, pencils down, everybody, because yeah. I know everybody's been taking notes, or stop typing on your notepad, because the best thing they need to do is so first of all, they need to go to your website to get those top 10 mistakes. And then obviously a great resource. And if they are not getting good tax planning, if you can't help them, you might know someone. If I assume you can practice helping somebody with their taxes, no matter where their business is based. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So let's just go ahead and give your website and contact information for those people who are going, holy cow, I learned so much in this show, and I want to save some money on my taxes. Possibly I want to get that review thing. What do they need to do?
Okay. Our website is bottomlinega.com. You can reach us there. You can hit the contact button, send us a message. We'll be glad to schedule a time to talk to you about what you have going on, see if there's something we can help you with. As far as our local telephone number, I can give that out as well. It is 678-866-4047. You can reach us there at that number, and
their expectation should be that if they reach out to you and contact you, then they need to be prepared. If they want to have a conversation with you, it's going to be the last 2 years of tax returns. And then, you know, there's a consultation. There's the first 2 years of tax returns. And then if you're going to be able to help them, you're going to put a plan together for them, whether you execute the preparation of the tax documents of that plan, or they just get the plan, either of those or both of those you can help them with. Is that fair to say?
Yes, most definitely.
All right. Yes, fantastic. Sir. Bottomlinega.com. Jacqueline Sheldon. We've learned so much on this show. Tiffany's over here feverishly taking notes. Yep.
He's not joking this time.
Even I'm taking, and you and I have worked together for a little while, and I've sent clients to you, and I know a lot of what you say. I mean, it's almost like the tax code is 15,000 pages long, and there's a lot in there, and knowing somebody who kind of knows it is a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Keeping up with the tax code is definitely a full-time job.
It's a full-time job, and thankfully you've been doing it for a little while, and you're there to take all that stuff and help us make sure we're paying our true fair share, and not overpaying like so many others, and not getting all the credits we should get. You make sure we do that. So bottomlinega.com. Jacqueline Sheldon, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank
today.
You, Jacqueline. We appreciate it.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tiffany?
That was good.
Did I deliver?
That was good. These are always those things, like you said, that people are like, oh, God. But then, and there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this or listen to part of this, and none of this applies to them yet. This would have been me 2 years into my business. Right. I was in over my head, couldn't care less. Now, a decade or more than a decade, and I understand every word of it. It's like, oof, that hurt. You know, I need help with that one.
Well, and it's so one of the things, a recurring theme on this show is surround yourself with good people, find the geniuses, listen to what they have to say. But the other thing is, ask good questions, spend time and kind of learn what you need to learn, and surround yourself with people you trust to handle the stuff that you're not going to know everything about. And the tax code is definitely one of those things. And it does amaze me at times when people go, yeah, I just went into the guy at the Walmart and they did. And I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking that. Just, can we acknowledge what that is? That's an hourly employee who's plugging numbers into forms. That is all that is.
Right.
So,
and if you have a W-2 and a certain salary, that may not matter, but if you have a small business, it always matters.
Yes. And so, you know, Noah is one of our geniuses that comes on the show, and he's a partner with us on this show. And so much is, you know, let's talk about this, and let's plan this, and let's strategize this, and why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't you do the same thing with your finances and your taxes?
Because you're talking about money in your pocket. You're talking about you either give it up to the IRS, or you keep it for your business and your family.
Well, and I think
the one about paying your kids, I'm like, I might go home this afternoon and start doing that.
You're all hired.
Yeah.
I just think some people just, it's not because, okay. So here's a confession. Okay. I'm an independent financial advisor. We've said that on the show. I can't give my firm name, yada, yada, yada. One of the reasons why I have a good relationship with Jacqueline is we refer clients back and forth to each other. She is one of my main resources that I will send clients to who have tax questions. She has clients and she talked about retirement planning. Do you know how many business owners get told, hey, you need to do something, you need to do something, you need to do something? And they, and they never do it.
Yeah.
They have the cash flow, they have the excess money, and they just never, or I'll call it, or we'll set up a call and we'll have a conversation. And then, I need to do something. And then I go, what do you, okay, well, you just lost more money out of your business to taxes. And my saying is always, you can give it to Uncle Sam or you can give it to yourself and your employees. Yeah. Which would you rather do? Yes. So anyway, okay. Now I'm off my rants. I apologize. Take a breath. Okay. So bottomlinega.com, they definitely need to go to that website. They also need to go to TiffanyCrewmans.com. Yes. Why do they need to go to TiffanyCrewmans.com, Tiffany?
I have got some consulting options on there, and I also have a course that they can take if they're curious about what is involved in the product development.
And is there a discount if they say that they heard about this on Product Genius?
If we put Product Genius, it'll give them 10% off.
But if you put Slightly Annoying Co-host or My Name Stephen Julian, she'll charge you twice as much. So don't do that.
Yeah.
So for Tiffany and for our producer Jody Smith, the easiest podcaster in the history of the world to work with, this is your Slightly Annoying co-host Stephen Julian saying in a slightly annoying voice, we'll catch you next time. Don't forget the audience next time on Product Genius.